cliffcentral.com.
Halala, my free starter, halala. Halala, Limpopo, halala. Halala, Gauteng, halala. Halala, KwaZulu-Natal, halala. Halala, Western Cape, halala.
Yep, here we are. It's live, it's all happening before your very ears. You want to get a hold of us today? Maybe you've got a hankering to bring something up. Maybe there's something on your mind. Something that's bothering you. Something that you love. Something you care about. Something you're interested in. You know, you could WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. You can call us on 0861-555-189. Yes. We got such an issue here with these headphones in the studio. I had Greg, our station manager, in here yesterday, and we were looking at all of this. They're going to fix them tomorrow, guys. I'm sorry. I got my buddy and Ben and Sia fighting over which port they can plug their headphones
in. That is so funny. You just said, I'm sorry, I'll fix them tomorrow, guys, and it died as you said that.
No, you're kidding
me. Oh, no.
Really?
Well, it's literally mess. Just like hoping that one of these works.
You know, they rewired them the other day, and those two don't even have the right ports, and then this one is connected to that one by a series rather than parallel, so you have massive fluctuations in volume when you turn the little knobs on them. So we're gonna put in new ones.
I was fine until Ben started fiddling with
Here's Gord Laws, everybody. He's hanging with us for the week, of course. Amanda and Lucas are here as well. Let's say hello to them in the production booth this morning. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Lucas.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Okay, they work as well.
They work as well, yeah.
I was trying to be a good team player the other day, and I found, you know, the technical staff here in studio.
Yes.
Trying to sort this out. So I was like, okay, let me see. You know, I can also help here.
Yeah.
No.
Bad idea.
Yeah, because I came in and I was like, seems like it's connected in series. They're like, yeah. And then I was like, okay, cool. That's where my technical talk ends. Didn't know what else to say.
You should say to them, we do not have the proper modulation in our headphones.
Oh, yeah. Modulation, I'll write that down.
Waveform amplitudes are crossing over each other and cancelling each other out. That's what you need to do. Jesus. You know, we were talking yesterday. We had a meeting last night. All the staff were here, and I think we finished at like 7:45 or so.
Oh, but it was good and on time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't drag on.
I got out of here. I went home and I got in the shower. It had been a long ass day. I got into the shower. I got into bed. I was out like a light. I must have been asleep, like fast asleep, snoring and drooling by 9:30. It was insane. What's going on, Lucas? What are you got? Are you having volume problems too?
No, we're not.
Oh.
We're just freezing that side.
Oh, why? What happened?
We need a remote.
Oh, my
guys.
God. You poor man. He's wearing a scarf and a gigantic coat.
In the corner.
It's there on the wall. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
a behind the scenes day today.
Well, we like to let everybody know what we're up to here. There are no secrets on this show. Everybody gets on with it. They all do their stuff. Mubs, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. You surviving the cold? Apparently, Cape Town got a ton of rain last night.
Yeah.
Was a storm.
That's, I mean, that's essentially a big FU to all of you who were criticizing Patricia DeLille for praying. Look, it worked.
Yeah, how convenient.
It worked.
Yeah. What's the bit all these priests are like, shit, when's the first likely chance? Okay, well, let's go. Let's pray that day or two before. Then we'll look like we really know what we're doing.
Yeah, you weren't seeing them praying in like October.
No.
February, March.
And I love these people.
Until peak winter.
These people in social media who say things like, oh, Mother Nature never lets us down. Well, what's she been doing for the last 8 months? Huh? You sons of bitches. How come the dams are all empty? Mother Nature never lets you down. Mother Nature doesn't care about you. Get over yourself. What a stupid thing to say on Facebook.
I think they were meant to pray for 5 minutes. They end up praying for an hour. Now the rain is destroying
too much.
Everything.
Yeah. No, but that was the thing. Patricia took up 12 religious leaders. She made us take up 2 at a time.
Yeah, you see. That's why today and yesterday they did have storms.
That's like when someone says, no, just take half a pill for your first time. No, I'll take 5.
Yeah.
And then they dance for a year.
Those people who kill themselves on like sleeping meds because they, oh no, I'm so tired. I'm going to need 6 of these. Boom, gone forever. Michael Jackson on the propofol.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, so we've got a couple of interesting days before I go. I mentioned yesterday who some of our guests will be in the next few days, but I'm off to Germany on Wednesday. I've never been to Germany before.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag, yeah. Well, my German is very, very rough, but you can pick up a few times what people might be saying.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Berlin or Bonn or Frankfurt, any of the places I'm going to. A lot of people were saying to me, Berlin is amazing.
Yeah, I've heard the same. There's this guy, he has a show called The Gadget Man, and he also has a show called The Travel Man, Richard Ayanobi, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this really amazing show on BBC where it's just him and a celebrity and 48 hours in the city.
Oh, yeah?
And Berlin was one of the places you went to. Let's try to find the episode. So what they do is they have a certain budget. They completely blow it because they think, well, you know, we're celebrities. And they go around and do all these amazing things for 2 days. So they've been to all the major cities, around the world.
Hmm.
But the Berlin episode in particular was very interesting.
Yeah, I heard that Berlin is just really a fun place, and people they're artistic and they're a bit wild and they're very sort of liberal. And there are lots of places that you can go out and you can eat and you can party. And I mean, it's just
especially this time of year.
Yeah, it's summer. It's the middle of summer in Germany, so I'm looking forward to that. It's just interesting because, again, this is a place I'm not familiar with. It wouldn't have been on my to-do list. I didn't ever think Germany, you know, it's not even in my top 10. And I'm making this speech at this huge Deutsche Welle Freedom Conference in Bonn. So I thought, well, may as well make a proper trip of it, you know. I'm not going to fly in there anytime soon just to go to Berlin. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it should be nice.
I don't remember a lot of my trip to Germany because it was an Oktoberfest trip.
There oh, yeah, that's so right. You've been to Germany before.
Memory loss all over the place.
I remember that.
Is that what we're calling it? Memory loss?
Yeah, oh. It was amazing, though. It really was fun.
Because I can think of other names. But
I don't know. We didn't even get into this when it happened, but I had these clips on my computer for a long time, and I thought, we've got to talk about this stuff. You know the MTV Movie Awards, which have become super, super serious. I don't know if you know about this, but they always used to just be a bit of a joke, the MTV Movie Awards, because you'd get a box of popcorn as a trophy, and they would be funny. People would pitch up in strange outfits, and they'd make fun of the acting profession, and it was humorous. Now they've become super, super serious. And they've become so politically correct.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's lost all of its shine. I'll guarantee you the ratings this year must have been the lowest they've ever been. And it was absolutely chock full of gender politics and identity politics and just steaming bullshit. I mean, listen to, that chick from Billions who's, she's not a chick, she's a guy, she's a chick, she's a guy. What?
Yeah.
The non-binary whatever she is.
What? Who's who's that?
The one
I was to stop watching.
The one, have you watched season 2 of Billions?
No.
Okay, well there's this, I suppose she's a non-gender specific actress and she comes straight into the show and, you know, this is how these shows try to be relevant and, you know, 2017, they cast someone who's neither a woman nor a man, you can't call. She walks into the show and she says to Bobby Axelrod at his desk, my name is this, these are my pronouns. So now you have to call her they, not her. I mean, it's a chick, but she wants to identify as non-gender specific. So at the MTV Awards, I mean, listen to this shit.
TV Movie and TV Awards this year. And it was also the first non-gendered award in the show's history. Watson took home Best Actor in a Movie for Beauty and the...
Which is bullshit, by the way, because Best Director, they don't care what your gender is. They don't go the best male director and female director. Any reason they create a male and female category in the actor category is because they want more awards so they can fill up the time.
Yeah, you don't get best female song.
Yeah. Anyway, listen to this.
Beast beating out Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out, Hugh Jackman in Logan, Taraji P. Henson in Hidden Figures, James McAvoy in Split, and Hailee Steinfeld in The Edge of 17. The award was presented by the star of Showtime's Billions, Asia Kate Dillon, who self-identifies as non-binary.
Tonight, we celebrate portrayals of the human experience.
All right, so she's got that really short hair, and she sounds to me like a girl.
So that's her actually in real life. That's
yeah, in real life.
She's,
role. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
actually who
yeah,
she is. Yeah,
she's,
they are, she, whatever.
She carries this over. In fact, I saw an article about her the other day where she had requested that they change her pronouns in the article.
Oof.
So she's probably going to hear this and then tell me eventually. I must edit out the hers and put in theys. I mean, it's such self-absorbed nonsense. Imagine me walking into a place and telling everyone, you know, you got to use these pronouns on me because I'm special. How about you just you fit in, and when you're really the best actress in the universe, then you can, like Meryl Streep, maybe you can start making political statements.
Because the only distinction we should be making when it comes to awards is between each outstanding performance.
Right. Like the story I read the other day, honey, where this guy, he's a man, he goes to a big athletic meeting in America, and he says, I identify as a woman, makes no effort to transition at all. He's not a, he's a man. He knows he's a man. He's taking the piss out of the system. He lines up with all these chicks at the racetrack. They run. He obviously beats them all because he's a man. He's got a man's body. He wins the race. And then afterwards he says, yeah, of course I knew I was taking, but I won the award. And all the girls are like, what the fuck? We tried to win this. This is serious for us. This idiot. You know what I mean? This is what you end up with when you go down that PC hole. This is what she's talking about. Oh, it's non-gender specific, blah, blah, blah. There's a reason that the women's tennis and the men's tennis are played simultaneously, but they're different. There's a reason that you don't have guys wrestling with women. There are reasons, for biological reasons. So don't bring your postmodern social constructed nonsense into this. You're ruining it for actual people who have actual goals and ambitions. Then that fucking idiot Vin Diesel gets up, and he makes some emotional speech. He still hasn't got over. Clearly, he has not moved on from the death of Paul Walker, and he doesn't call him Paul Walker. He calls him Pablo.
Oh,
you know, because he identifies as Latino, obviously. You know, Pablo. You can hardly understand this guy. He's a complete mongoloid when he doesn't have a script. And so he goes up. Listen to this. This is hysterical. And he also...
Franchise, Vin Diesel.
He's so serious, too. I mean, you'd think Vin Diesel would go up and go, let's move the popular couple of cars. Because the movies are popular because of cars. No one's watching Fast and the Furious to have a multicultural experience. You know what I mean? Up their own backsides. It drives me to drink. Listen to this. Big dummy.
I'm going to need my family for this one. I'm going to need my family for this one. Jordana Brewster, Tyrese Gibson, and Michelle Rodriguez.
Are those the other Fast and Furious people? Yeah. I've never watched one of these movies. I couldn't bring myself to. I'd rather drink bleach. Okay, so now these other three are up there with him.
Oh, you guys are so incredible. You know... Yeah. In 2002, I was standing on this stage, and MTV had given Paul Walker and I an award for best...
This is such a hard-on for Paul Walker. Seriously. I mean, the guy drove into a really, really thick wall really fast. You still think he's a hero?
And now, 15 years later, I'm with my whole family, and you're giving us the Generation Award. I have to thank Universal. I have to thank all the directors, Chris Morgan, Neil Moritz. But most importantly,
here we go.
I got to thank our generation. I gotta thank a generation that was willing to accept this multicultural franchise.
Who watches Fast and the Furious cares? By the way, the Michelle Rodriguez behind him is just, I just heard from her now, she's identifying as a polar bear.
Stop.
Right now. So that's news that's just come in now. Just in case you were wondering what's going on over there. She's a polar bear, so that's why it's also multicultural, multi-species.
It didn't matter what color your skin was or what country you were from.
Oh, please. Fast and the Furious. Is that a political show? Is that a political movie?
Yeah, Gareth, they went to Tokyo once.
Oh, what a lot of crap.
And they always have Latino people. Okay, look, they're gangsters, but still, it's representation.
Yeah, I'm so sick of this identity politics stuff. Who cares what? I don't care where you come from, what you got between your legs, or what your color of your skin is. I really don't care. In fact, it is the least interesting thing about most people. Because there are others with that same property. Don't you want to be an individual? Do you want to stick out for who you are rather than what you are? Gender non-binary, polar bear, identify as a woolly mammoth. Get over yourself. Grow up. You're not special because of what came out of your mother's womb. You're special because of what you do with it. We need more people who make a difference in this world, and less people who expect to be treated specially. From the get-go. You start in one season of Billions, and you're up there lecturing everybody on why we should be treating men and women exactly the same in an awards category. Don't you know how show business works, honey? You clearly haven't been in it a long time, and you won't be for a long time. This is your one role, because this is your thing, is to play you. It's to be your non-binary whatever it is. That's your thing. After that, you got nothing special to add.
Yeah, then you can cash her outside. Yeah. The rest of those right. 15 minutes.
Going to get on Dr. Phil in 5 years' time and say, well, I've decided, because now I need a new story to get back into TV. No one's hiring me anymore. I became too much work because around the dining table, people they weren't saying they. So I had a strop. I had a fit, and then they kicked me off the show. And now I don't have any work. So I've come back. I've decided I'm a girl after all.
Pardon my lack of education, but doesn't they refer to as plural a lot of the time?
Yeah, well, there are 38 different pronouns you can use in New York State to identify people. There are animal kin people. These are people who say they are neither male nor female nor even human. They want to identify as animal kin. And you have to use pronouns like Z, Zer, and Zerm.
This makes like dinner with a vegan or walk in the park.
Well, I'm just thinking it would be a fun drinking game.
Oh, yes.
To do what?
To go through the 38 pronouns.
It would be fun for you and for me, but I don't think for them. They take it terribly seriously.
No, you can't.
There's no sense of humor around this. Like everything, the humor's pulled right out. That's the problem with these people on the postmodern left, is that they have no sense of humor about this stuff. So we can joke about it here, and you know, we can put on that Caitlyn Jenner voice and go, "Hey, everybody!" And it's funny to us because we have a sense of humor. They don't. I think that's hugely offensive. They're the same people who will tell you what you are and aren't allowed to find funny on social media. Like Gord was saying, is to those anti-social trolls. Will come in and tell everybody else, oh, no, no, that's acceptable, that's not.
Dude, and what strikes me as a massive irony...
Are you identifying as something else this morning? What's your story?
I identify as a heavily tattooed fat guy who's fantastic in the sack. So if we can...
Oh, if we can
make a pronoun for that.
Yeah.
The thing about... The irony about all of this political correctness is that the premise of it is to be more inclusionary. It's like, okay, everyone gets a fair shake. Everyone gets treated equally. No one's discriminated.
No, they don't want to be treated equally.
But they are the most vitriolic people in the world. You say, Gareth, I don't agree with you. Sorry, you got that opinion. I got this opinion.
No.
Do you want a coffee? And you get ripped to shreds. Yeah. You're like, nothing is more aggressive than a liberal fighting for their right for everyone to be treated kindly.
Don't use the word liberal because I'm a liberal.
Well, the left.
And I like left. Yeah, no. The left, it's a political structure. You buy into all that shit that society is wrong. Civilization must be reformed, which is nonsense because you wouldn't be wearing clothes and you wouldn't be driving a Wankel rotary engine powered car and you wouldn't have technology. You wouldn't be able to use the phone that you're using to complain about people on Twitter.
So what do you call someone who's hateful of anyone who they perceive as being hateful?
A bigot, clearly. Yeah, I mean, that's the word. We have a word for that already. And it suffices across the board. Anyway, I've had these clips here and I haven't played them for you yet. So there are a bunch of others, by the way. Emma Watson, who used to be in Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
She got up there. She won that award. And she also had some things to say about, oh, you know, we've got to have... We've got to stop all these people who are looking at us as only human beings. There are other creatures in the universe that we have to take into consideration. I mean, it's like they're living in a bubble where they and their friends get together. They and their friends get together over a weekend, and this is what they talk about because they think they're going to change the world with words. I mean, get out of it. You're a bunch of actors. You pretend for a living. You get paid to pretend. Don't start telling the rest of us how to live our lives. I've had this argument with a countless number of actors before. You unless you are out there making a difference, and some of them do, let's give credit where it's due. George Clooney, I have a lot of respect for. He goes off to South Sudan and Darfur, and he tries to make
a dad.
Yeah, he tried. He's a new dad, of course.
Just had the twins.
Angelina Jolie, she's on UNICEF's board. She goes out there. She's an ambassador. She makes a difference. Mm-hmm. These are people who are doing good. I get that. Oprah Winfrey does a lot of good. There are very decent people in Hollywood, but you don't hear them getting up on the stage and lecturing the rest of us how to behave. Because actually, we don't need to listen to you people. All right, let's get into the news. I can't believe I had such a rant so early on. Hey, it's a good morning. I've got to start somewhere.
Is that the...
Yeah, okay. It's a great morning. I got it off my chest. Now we can get stuck into some important stuff. So there's a buy one, get one on us all day Monday special at Colcacchio Pizzerias. It'll run from the 1st of May to the 31st of August. Buy any gourmet pizza and you will get a second gourmet or classic pizza free on a Monday. Available nationwide at all Mio Colcacchio and Colcacchio Pizzerias. The less expensive pizza is free. In-store or takeaway, no delivery. T's and C's apply. Only on a Monday at Colcacchio Pizzeria. What's going on, Sia? Sia just got a slap from my bunny.
I mean, he's messing with...
Well, Sia was playing with...
This is the frustration of this test.
You can't hear each other. You can't hear anything?
No, he's messing with his knob, which is affecting mine.
Wow, this
and
is exciting.
And then down to the
Hey, listen, did you try one of those Colcacchio pizzas yesterday, Sia? You were at the meeting.
Oh, that is good.
Ben and my buddy couldn't be bothered to come to the meeting. Lucas, you tried it, right?
Yeah, I tried it.
Nice.
Tried,
all right. Very good.
I had to work. I mean.
Yeah, Ben, you and Ben always have other things to do. You're never at the meetings.
No, that never is factually incorrect.
No, I don't care. You can report to Pumi, the new MD. It's not my problem. You don't come to meetings anymore. I'm not going to get involved. All right, let's get into the news. Let's go.
Okay, so by now everybody knows that we're in a recession. Yep, that's it. That's all I say on that story. Now, ugh. Cape Town. Oh. Cape Town is on high alert across land, sea, and air as the South African Weather Service anticipates the full extent of a major cold front that's going to be unleashed across the eastern and the western Cape today. Hmm. And of course, cold front for them means cold front for the rest of us.
We better brace ourselves.
A while later.
Cape Town wanted rain. They're getting rain, so they mustn't complain too much. But the rest of us didn't ask for extra cold. So it's very unfair. Yeah.
Now, you know, apparently it was a disaster yesterday with roofs being blown off and trees falling over and all sorts of things. Schools are apparently shut down today. Mm-hmm. The University of Cape Town also confirmed that they will be closed as emergency services are on standby. Now, if you had plans to travel to Cape Town today, pay attention. Airports Company South Africa says that they have put a number of plans in place. Airports and centers that are expected to bear the brunt of the storm, such as Cape Town, George, East London, and PE, have completed a whole host of preparations. They will be on standby, but yes, four airports could possibly be affected by the storm.
Helen Ziller was wetter than the storm yesterday. Did you see this woman? She was going on about this storm. I've never seen anyone so excited about something in my life. Vin Diesel isn't that excited about Paul Walker. It was unreal. She was tweeting meteorological maps. She was saying, oh, the storm is coming. It's going to be very exciting. She was, there must have been 50 tweets. I eventually thought, I've got to unfollow this woman. So much about the weather. She is so excited about the storm. But then old people do. They love the Weather Channel. They've got that app, my dad's favorite app on his phone. He checks the weather every night. It's the most exciting thing. He gets on there. He's like, tomorrow's maximum is going to be... I'm like, Dad, really? You're going to wake up, there's going to be weather. You need to... They're obsessed. These old people are obsessed with checking the weather. You know what I mean? And Helen Ziller... I've never seen anyone on Twitter so excited about something.
But also, like, this whole thing of school shutting down.
Yeah.
I went to all of the years that you should go to school. And not once in the Cape did we ever get a day off.
Ah, growing up in
Yeah, but you also grew up in the wild. You're tougher than the average school
Every time
kid.
I went there, everyone else was there.
In Durban, I always just prayed for, I think like 40 degrees was the temperature that had to be reached for school to be shut down. Nothing ever happened. So like, damn you, Al Gore and global warming. Why didn't we get something earlier?
You know, I reckon that it's exciting and because it's a major event, because it hasn't been rain in the Cape for such a long time. Mm. They don't even know how to deal with rain anymore. They might have forgotten. People might be running down the street like putting fires out on their hair and stuff just because this is so different.
Water's falling from the sky. Ah,
this is so bizarre. We've never had this before. And I get what Ben's saying. It's like, you could go to school. Are you going to get a bit wet? Maybe you get a bit cold.
The difference, though, is that Cape Town is pretty much, they're pretty well accustomed for rainy, miserable weather. This is aggressive rain.
Yeah.
This is like Johannesburg rain. It comes in with a purpose and it wants to kick some ass. Whereas Cape Town rain is like, oh no,
apparently
I'm just going to be wet air for a few days. But there is a potential for a lot of homeless people to be affected, which is kind of the serious side of the matter.
Well, yes. And I saw a lot of people yesterday saying, oh, you know, thinking about the homeless and so on. But I think that the fact that this rain is coming in sideways might be part of the problem.
Yeah, I guess it's the big wind, and that's when roofs come off. So maybe if you're at school and a roof hits you in the head, that probably isn't the best idea. Sure. Maybe I can see it now.
It's very grim.
It'd be very All difficult right. to play rugby in this as well.
Well.
You want to win the toss and play with the wind.
Now, what is the name of your friend who sold something to the Guptas?
Oh, Mike Stopforth. All yesterday. Right.
So it would seem that a kind of trend has built up here, because new email leaks, yes, these email leaks are fun. There are still a lot of people calling it all fake news, and now people are arguing amongst each other about whether or not it is fake news. But anyway, in the new email leaks, it has been revealed that the Guptas took 19 months to settle the bill for that lavish Sun City wedding that they came in for, where they all got to land at Waterkloof. The four-day extravaganza was controversial from the start, beginning with the landing of the family's guest party at the Air Force Base. The wedding took place back in 2013 at Sun City's Palace Hotel. The Amabungani and Scorpio investigative centers yesterday revealed in leaked emails that some of the demands which were made by the Guptas and their refusal to cough up for the hefty bill.
Oh. Wow.
The requests included the use of fireworks, ice rigs, horses, one waiter for every 10 guests.
Of course,
sure, have your demands, but then don't refuse to settle the bill after the fact.
These guys seem to have a problem with paying bills. They like taking in cash, but they're not good at settling bills. I would warn all those captured cabinet ministers that you guys probably aren't going to get paid.
Which is odd, because they are loaded. I mean, why are you struggling to pay your bill when you have tons and tons of money?
You know, it's a power thing, really.
You know what, Mubs? What's the word? It is mean, right? When you're very, you don't like to spend, and when I get a bill, I want to pay it immediately because I don't like owing anybody anything. Even if I don't have, I'll take on the debt. In other words, like, I have a bond on my house and stuff, but I'm not going to not pay my bills. Because otherwise you owe 23 different people stuff instead of just the bank. And some people do not like to pay. I know a guy who will wait to the very last minute to pay. Like, someone will buy tickets to some music concert or whatever. Mm. And he'll buy for everybody. And then this dude will be the last guy to pay. He'll probably give you the cash on the night. And then only under protest. Sometimes you have to chase him up afterwards because he doesn't like to. Now, he's not a horrible person. He's not down and out in terms of money. It doesn't matter how much you have. If you don't like to pay, you don't like to pay. There are people that are just like that. And then there are those people who, even if they have very little, they always settle their debts. They don't like to owe anybody money. And I just think it's a really horrible characteristic when you bought something and you don't pay up. Like, you gotta pay up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you want that hanging over? But then it's like Mike was saying yesterday, you get the impression they were kind of happy to maybe you would forget about it, and then you would have the thing for no money. So maybe they just want people to go, you know what, this is too much trouble, just forget about it.
Well, the other thing is that there was this girl varsity with us. She was earning a lot more money than we were at the time. We were all students, and she had a job. And we'd all go out for, you know, coffee or drinks or whatever. And when the bill arrived, we'd pass the bill around. Everyone would put in whatever they owed, whether it was on a card or in cash. And then she would wait till everyone had paid, and she would just like top it up to the actual bill. In other words, we'd put in extra for the tip, and she would only pay enough to just cover the bill. So she'd get the last little bit of the bill.
That is so sneaky.
And then she'd say, "Ah, guys, there's no tip." And we'd all be like, "What? We'll put in tip."
And she was earning more. She was than earning you more guys than that. So, oh no!
It doesn't matter how much you have. Like, the Guptas are going to be mean, whether they're down and out or whether they've got tons of cash in the bank.
It's not even being frugal, because you know, being frugal is
means you're careful with spending. Exactly. And yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
That's just being schnorrer.
Amanda, you say you've got a friend like this as well?
Yeah, no, that still happens. My friends are famous for like paying the tip.
Yeah.
Like, they love it, and they have the most, or like. The best is my little cousins will say, "Oh, let's go do this, whatever." So I'm like, "Okay, I'm keen, let's go."
Yeah.
And then the bill comes, and then they're like, Amanda, I don't have money. And then I'm like, "So now what?" I'm like, "Do I pay my bid and leave you here? Or what happens?"
Like, yeah, what is it? It's cheap, right? You're a cheap.
Yeah.
That's so rude.
Schnorrer.
Yeah.
The word, like in Yiddish, there's a word schnorrer. You're a schnorredicke chazer. It means you're a like mean. You don't like this. You're a spendthrift pig, essentially. Chazer, right? Schnorredicke chazer. I'm gonna start saying that to people. But I mean, clearly these Guptas are schnorredicke chazers. They don't like to pay their bills. And like I said, the biggest alarm bells should go off for people like Musibenzi Zwane and Faith Mutambi and all the other ministers who are captured, because you guys think that the Guptas are gonna pay you. Wait till you're not useful to them anymore. Wait till they've got their meal at Sun City. Wait till they've got their golf game from Mike Stopforth. Guess what then? They stop paying.
Did we get a total of how much the wedding cost?
Hey, the president better watch out. The bond repayments on that house. Who's going to look off? Who's going to buy the furniture? I mean, it's an empty shell at the moment. Does he think the Guptas can keep shelling out?
And is it in his name now, or is it just earmarked for handover?
Yeah, it might go to Atul or AJ or one of them.
Because probably owned by Sahara,
the
software company. Yeah.
I also, you know, worry for Jay-Z's safety, because he's obviously made a deal with the Russians, and he's obviously gotten a bit of an upfront payment for that.
Yeah, they did. They've already
Got a reputation for not being unbelievably kindly toward people that don't hold up their end of the bargain, especially when a deposit has been paid.
Let me tell you, sleepless nights.
That's not just not getting your mansion. Those dudes, I mean, not to generalize, but they have a reputation for being rather unorthodox with their payment extraction method.
Exactly. If Guy Ritchie knew what was going on here, okay, so you've got the Zuma clan, you've got the Guptas, and then you've got the Russians. This is like three things coinciding on one point.
It's the perfect storm. Like,
it would be just like in Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels around those paintings and those guns.
Yeah, everybody converges at the same time. All right, Mubs.
A payment of over 1.2 million was made first in July this year, and then a second payment of another million several months later. So they parted with over 2 million rand for that wedding.
I thought it would be more.
Well, they were hacking for discounts for like 3 years prior to that.
All right, let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Ben, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, Dwayne Vermeulen is officially out of the test series against France. He was this big hope because he plays in France. He would impart all this knowledge and lead from the front, blah, 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 blah. But he arrived with a buggered up shoulder.
No.
And it seems to be worse than initially expected. So he's probably just going to hang out with his chums, have a couple of brandies, and then go back to work in France. And while this happens, Alistair Goodseer will just keep dishing out the cliches about the French being relatively unpredictable and we'll see what happens, blah, blah, blah. But then Jake White. Now, Jake White is often... I mean, this guy really does like to blow his own horn to the point where he gets chapped lips. But he also says really interesting things from time to time. So he said this whole thing about the French being unpredictable is absolute horseshit. I don't know what the French word is for that, so I'll just use the English one. Now, he says, with the amount of technology around nowadays, the amount of analysis that you have at your disposal, how could any team be unpredictable? It's unpredictable if you don't know what you're talking about. Mm. So
when the orcs come out of Mordor, that's unpredictable.
Yeah. But the thing is, even then, if you had surveillance around them and you knew that they were being built up and built up and built up, the day would come, right?
Yeah, if you had a drone or a satellite image, you'd know the orcs were coming.
So therefore,
you dummy.
If you're not doing your research, they're going to be unpredictable. So the Bok camp will just hang on to these cliches and go, you know, we respect them, they're very unpredictable. Bollocks. So Jake White has been coaching in France for about 3 years now. He said no one has consulted him whatsoever about what to expect from the French. Now, you would think that maybe that would be a good call. I don't know if Jake charged a lot of money for this, but I'm sure he would have imparted some knowledge. So it does seem a bit strange, this whole way of going about things. And just, again, cliches, there's no place for them. It really is. It's just lazy. But the French are going to be quite weak for this first week, so the Bok camp can take that from me. Because they've all just played that French final top 14 thing. Some of the best players only arrived in the country this week. So as of next week, the French will be very good. So what I will say is that the Bok will win this week. I know I haven't said that in quite some time. But if the Bok can't beat this weakened French side at altitude, at Loftus on Saturday, then wow. I think it's going to be much of the same for 2017 as it was for 2016.
All right. Not much to look forward to if you're a big fan there.
Yeah, but Dwayne Vermeulen is officially out. So okay. He's gone. And kind of predictable. I don't know. Because you can't keep... Like, the French have played 10 months, right? This is the end of their season. So they've come out from a long, long season. And now they've got to play Test Match Rugby. Our guys are... Well, no one's relatively fresh ever. But just goes to show you. You can't rely on overseas talent coming back. Same with Dwayne from the last year as well. Came back for that Irish series. He was well off pace. And then he just couldn't play. And then he was out of shape for everything else.
Live for the pay!
Yeah, but he can't. Shoulder injury.
Little snap, crack and pop in that back. Bow!
In the Champions Trophy, England were very, very good yesterday. They beat New Zealand by 87 runs. Batting first, Fowles Morgan and his men, 3-10. Solid score there in Wales. 3-10 all out, so they had 3 balls left. But anyway, way too much for New Zealand. Kane Williamson was good, but as for the rest, well, that's about it, really. Ross Taylor was okay, and the rest just sort of crumbled. So England are officially through to the semis because every other game in that group seems to be rained out. Today, we have the Proteas versus Pakistan.
Ooh.
Pakistan are unpredictable. No, they're not. They're crap. They used to be good. They lost all their big players. They were hammered by India in the first round. And again, the Proteas need to really hammer them again here. And if they do that, then they go through as well. So that's very exciting stuff. In other cricket news, it looks like Western Province are going to have an official Black African Cricket Club. Now, this is a team that will not be relegated from the Division A of the club circuit. So no matter how crap they are or how good they are, they'll always be in this whole mix. So how it works in South African franchise cricket right now is that you need 6 players of colour, 3 of which have to be Black African. Now, Black African is a key word in this whole quota debate because it quantifies where we all have to really start going.
Do we have any non-binary, gender non-specific polar bear cricket teams?
I'm glad you asked, Gareth. No, not one. Okay. So
that's a pity.
It's one thing doing the Black African team, but how about the gender fluid team?
Oh. Do we have a gay rugby club here in Joburg?
Just one.
Yeah, we interviewed those guys, remember?
Not enough. We need 13. So there's been some, obviously, some backlash around this because the club cricketers are now being told they have to have at least one Black African player.
I mean, this is Hendrik Verwoerd's wet dream. You realize that? This is what he always wanted. Ironically, this is exactly what he wanted. He wanted a thing for blacks and a thing for whites, and they must never mix. Look what you got. I wonder if people who come up with these ideas ever read a book about what apartheid was. They might do themselves a favor.
It would be interesting. Oh. So that's what's happening in franchise cricket. And in English football, 2 fans have been banned for making Nazi gestures in a friendly between England and Germany.
Were they from Edenvale High School?
They weren't, actually. No. That was cleared up at the top of the article that I'm referencing this from.
Okay.
They booed during the national anthem and they sang songs about World War II. Can these people just grow up?
I mean, again, they haven't read a book.
Have you just grow up?
They haven't watched one of those nasty documentaries where they show you how evil the Nazis were. So they've just heard from their friends it's funny or it's ironic or it's interesting and they're trying to be cool. They're idiots. And this is the danger. Like, you don't read history. You don't know where you come from. You don't know the context of our past as humans. You're going to say and do stupid stuff. And then you deserve to be locked up.
Yeah, so the FA have banned these two. And they have a history of banning people for hooliganism, stepping out of line like this, and that's it. They get banned, they're watched, and they never ever go to these games again. Simple as that. They can't travel certain places. The FA are really, really good like this. Then Piers Morgan, who nobody likes but is also quite intelligent sometimes, said, how is it that English hooligans can get banned, but then these jihadists returning from war zones can just slip in and out of the country like no problem.
Yeah, good point. Does that mean that the sports authorities are better at controlling flows in and out than the governments of these countries?
It would definitely seem that way, Gareth.
That's a good point from Piers Morgan.
Yes, very good, Piers. All right. In the tennis yesterday, unfortunately, there was rain. There was a lot of rain, which absolutely ruined the men's side of the draw. So we're all waiting for this Nadal Djokovic semi-final to be confirmed. Well, Corinna Buster and Dominic Thiem are still in the mix here because it's been raining, unfortunately. In the women's side of the draw, well, Caroline Wozniacki used to be a world number one. She also used to be engaged to Rory McIlroy. She used to be a lot of things, but she's no longer in the semi in the French Open. She lost to Ostapenko.
Well, are you just?
Is this what happens like when your lower back seizes up? You get Ostapenko.
Do you take one of those bags of the Scrabble letters in and you just throw them out on the table in front of you and then you go nyef 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 nyef?
Yeah. Well, she lost in the second round, unfortunately. The one you're talking about.
All right.
Yeah,
but he lost all the vowels.
he's Polish.
Yeah, it's because Ian Morgan took all the vowels. I'll tell you, the English cricket captain. So these other tennis players have got nothing left. So Ostapenko, she is through. She beat Wozniacki in three sets. Basinski, she also beats the Mladenovic. I think she's French. So that's the next semi-final there. Ostapenko versus Basinski. Then on the other side, the rain, well, it hammered them again. So not a lot of action from Roland Garros yesterday, but all to play for today. They're going to be just jamming those games in. And a thrilling, thrilling weekend we have of tennis ahead. Gareth, just finally, and I will get into this more probably after the show on my website, but how the biggest football sides in the world rank up against the biggest American football sides in the world. Mm-hmm. So if you were to take the top five richest football teams in the world, how do you think they would stack up against American football money-wise? Would they be richer? Would they be poorer?
A club like Real Madrid, they're really rich, right?
Really rich.
They got a lot of money. Even like Man U and Liverpool and Chelsea and Arsenal, they've got some money. But I don't know. Maybe they would, compared to like the New York Giants. Let me think about that.
Okay. Not a whole bunch of times, so it's more of a yes, no.
I would say that the American football clubs are probably not as rich as the soccer clubs.
Correct, Gareth. The nine richest football clubs in the world are richer than the nine richest American football clubs in the world. But how about this? Man United are the most valuable. It's all according to Forbes, right? I'm not pulling this out of my ass. All according to Forbes, Man United is the richest club in the world. How the hell is this happening? Firstly, they spend all their money on Pogba and Wayne Rooney's hair, which hasn't gone well, I got to add. I mean, Jacques Carlos got the plugs in and it worked. Wayne Rooney, not so much. $765 million, dollars is what this team is worth, right? The equivalent in America, $700 million. Dallas Cowboys, that's their richest. Real Madrid are only the second richest. They win everything. A lot of self-tan for Ronaldo, but still, they win everything. $688 million is what they're worth. The New England Patriots are the second highest in American football, $523. Only if you get down to the 10th richest football club do you start seeing the American football teams getting back into it. Huh. So from 10 to 20, all the American football team equivalents are richer than the football equivalents.
All right.
It's a very interesting list. I shall tweet this after this.
Very good. Thank you, Ben. That's a look at your sport. It's 7 minutes to 7. Let's get to Anthea and see what's going on there. Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
So, where do we begin after yesterday, which was kind of an interesting day on the stock market, huh?
Kind of a rubbish day on the stock market, actually.
Yeah.
The all share was down 1.2%. Resources were up over 1%, but then financials and retailers got absolutely crushed. Standard Bank and Barclays were down around 4%. Momentum was down over 8%, but that's because they put out a fairly disappointing operational update. And then two interesting transactions, I'll call them. One of them from Datatech, the share was up almost at one stage yesterday, 26%, they announced that they're selling their Westcon Comstore business to Cynex Corporation for $800 million. Westcon Comstore is a physical and digital technology distributor of security, networking, data center solutions. And basically, Cynex is a US-based global company that does pretty much the same IT distribution. So a nice little windfall for data tech, or windfall and partnership, because actually they're getting paid $500 million in Cynex shares and then $130 million in cash upfront and another $200 million subject to Westcon meeting performance targets for the full year, for full financial year.
Nice. So for for data tech shareholders, not a bad day.
Indeed. And then there was another strange transaction announcement yesterday. The IFC, which is basically the World Bank's finance business, has taken a $22 million strategic stake in Bounty Brands, which is a local consumer goods company which is planning to list next year. They're likely to have their primary listing on the London Stock Exchange and their secondary listing on the JSE. Basically, Bounty distributes in South Africa and Eastern Europe. And the brands you'll recognize are Diesel, Vans, Superdry, Anique Makeup, Tuffy Refuse Bags, and a number of other food, personal, and home care items.
Okay.
So, I'm quite looking forward to seeing the listing prospectus coming out. It won't be soon, I'll tell you that, if they're only listing next year. And then the most important thing we need to talk about is that Stats SA released economic data yesterday, and South Africa is now officially in a recession.
Mabali breezed past that because we don't really want to talk about it, but I'd like to know.
I mean, it's because Anthea is more equipped to talk about it.
No, sure, but I mean, you and I also, we didn't want to get our heads out of the sand if we didn't absolutely have to, Mubs. What does this mean for us, Anthea? I mean, is this stuff that's already happening, right? Stats SA are not predicting anything. They're just telling us what's already going on.
That's right. So this is the number for the first quarter. So to the end of March, our economy shrunk by 0.7%. That is absolutely shocking. It's the first time since 2009 that we've gone into recession. And I think before that, we hit a recession in 1993 or 92, somewhere around there. So basically, where do I even start with this? I had a funny WhatsApp message from a friend who said, our friends at the Reserve Bank missed a trick at their last meeting. They should have cut interest rates to give the economy a boost. But actually, I think the truth of the matter is the way the government is behaving, firing finance ministers on a whim, allowing corruption, blatant theft of tax money. The list is endless. I think basically the Saab almost have one hand tied behind their backs. We really need a plan of action and a catalyst to get us out of this recession. And there's no official definition of depression. So with officially, recession is two quarters of contraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it can go on and on. I mean, I think the most bizarre response to all of this was a statement by our finance minister yesterday who listed five what he called green shoots. In other words, the
pretend finance minister, the one who dresses up and reports to the Guptas, that finance minister?
That's our guy.
Yeah.
He said, so we've already got green shoots and he's not too worried because, one, because of the improving global growth. I mean, that's in hindsight.
Let's just remember, this is the guy who a couple of weeks ago we were looking at his girlfriend outing him for their affair all over Twitter. He's not a serious person. We can't take this person seriously.
But he's running our country, and running the finance department of our country. We have to take him seriously.
It's like a guy running a tumble down inn off the main road. The real economy is the world economy. And we discussed this the other day. We're obviously going to have to pay the price for the stupidity of our politicians, but they have largely priced it in when it comes to the currency. As far as the recession goes, this is what we get when we have bad leaders, when we have people in charge who don't know what they're doing. And I agree with you. He's part of that, but he's so new on the scene and he knows so little about finance. We don't need to be listening to what he said.
Well, I think the ratings agencies will be listening. That's the sad part of it. And, we've still got Moody's still waiting for their decision. And suddenly I was thinking they would only cut us by one, take us down one notch. But Moody's could easily use this as an excuse to cut us two notches into junk status. And then then the rubber hits the road. I mean, there's so much about it. And this number actually doesn't include the previous S&P and Fitch downgrades, because this is only to March. And I think the downgrades only happened in April. As did the cabinet reshuffles, right? That was only April. So I'm afraid there's a lot worse to come. And with unemployment at over 27%, I think the consumer is really going to struggle. I mean, well, obviously the consumer is already struggling. So.
All right. Well, I mean, we've got to brace ourselves like people for that Cape Town storm.
Indeed, this really is a storm, I'm afraid. It's kind of. We are in it now.
We are not allowed to blame anyone else for this storm. This is of our own doing. And by our own, I mean our government's doing.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what the irony about what the finance minister was saying. He was saying, it's okay, you know, we're seeing global growth. We're seeing stabilizing commodity prices, favorable climate conditions, reliable electricity supply. And the other thing was, less volatile labor relations. But if we can't, with all those good things, if we can't print economic growth, then we're in trouble.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. We got to face up to these things. We can't hide away and pretend they're not happening.
Indeed. Right, well, at least try to have a good day today.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to let this stuff get me down.
Good stuff.
And you shouldn't either. All right. Let's look for those opportunities wherever they may be. There we go, Anthea Gardner. And a look at the money, your money. What's up, Sia?
I love how Anthea really aims to be optimistic sometimes.
I know. She tries.
We appreciate it, Anthea. CliffCentral.com.